once again to break open God's Word in the Psalms, in this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, where we take the scriptures from the Sefer Tehillim, or the Book of Sung Praises, or the Jewish hymnal, if you will, which is the Book of Psalms. And we break open the Psalms and feed you with God's words of love and life. And remember, this segment of Beacon of Truth, the Soulful Psalms, are its own podcast. You can go to Podcast Central at EW10.com and download it there, or through the EWTN app, or through Spotify or iTunes or whatever podcast medium you like to use. But the important thing is to download it so you can listen to these Psalm reflections every day. All right, today we're looking at the first part of Psalm 75, right? So Psalm 75 is in Book 3 of the Psalms, Psalm 73 to 89. And so in Book 3, Psalm 73 to 83 are by Asaph, right? So Asaph means gather. And most of the Asaph Psalms are in Books 2 and Books 3 of the Psalms. So this is Psalm 75, which falls in 73 to 83. This is Asaph. So the prescript is the entire first verse of the psalm. Okay, so again, if you're following along the Psalms and you're using the Septuagint version of the Psalms, which is the Greek version, you won't see the prescripts there. Okay, but if you're using what's called the Masoretic text or the Jewish text, which what we use as Catholics in our Old Testament, you will see the prescripts there. So this one says, "For the choir master, intone like 'Do not destroy,' a psalm of Asaph, a song." Okay, so Asaph wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master to put music to, and he wanted it to sound like "Do not destroy." I have no idea what "do not destroy" is. I mean, obviously there's no psalm called "Do Not Destroy," but he had something either a prayer or a song or something in his mind that he wanted this psalm to sound like when the choir master put music to it, right? The leaders of the musical guild. All right, so let's dive in. Verse 2. "We give praise to you, O God. We give praise, for your name is near. We recount your wonderful deeds." So very interesting wording here in this second stanza of the strophe here. "We give praise to you, O God. We give praise, for your name is near." Right? So not just your presence is near to us, but your name is near. Right, very interesting, and so it's very personal, because when you want to be in a relationship with someone, you call someone by that name, right? When you meet somebody for the first time, you introduce yourself by giving them your name. That's how you establish that personal relationship. And so we see the intimacy that the Jewish people want with the Lord by saying your name is near, and they also recognize the holiness of that name. That the name of the Lord, just the name of the Lord, should draw us closer to him, right? That name is inviting us into relationship with him, right? I love the way that's phrased, very beautiful. "We recount your wonderful deeds. When I establish the appointed time, then I myself," now that they're having God speaking here, right? "When I establish the appointed time, then I myself will judge with fairness. Though the earth and all who dwell in it may rock, it is I who set firm its pillars." Okay, so I love this. When I establish the appointed time, I myself would judge with fairness. Okay, God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. So here, he's saying that when I establish the appointed time, right? So we've talked about this before, but so many times we're going through something, we have to wait on the Lord. And it's hard to have patience. I know I'm impatient, you know, especially when I'm traveling as much as I do and flights are late, which is a lot. It happens a lot traveling now post pandemic and everything. A lot of flights are late, and and it really tries your patience, and so we have to wait for the Lord, because when we wait for the Lord, then he will judge with fairness. And though all the earth who dwell in it may rock, no matter what's going on in your life, you're going through the tumult, the earthquake that's happened in your life, I am the one, the Lord says, who set firm its pillars. So it's the Lord that gives us stability. It's the Lord that gives us that strong foundation upon which we can build our faith and build our lives as well.
Yeah, and in addition to this psalm, I was actually reading 1 Peter this morning, and it talks specifically about in his right time, he will restore. And I love that, because when I'm in those moments when I know that he's rebuilding something, but I'm not being very patient about it, might even be throwing a little bit of a ace tantrum, like it could be, come on, God, but it's his right time. So going back into if it's perfect timing and he's always perfect, then we just have to settle into God's going to restore my reputation. He's going to restore my relationships. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But again, his timing is what we're waiting on. So let that restoration be what brings you that peace.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I can't help but think about Cardinal Pell, who was wrongly accused of sexual abuse, when he was the Archbishop of Sydney, Australia. And he was put in jail in solitary confinement for over a year. And then he was exonerated by the highest court in Australia, who, in fact, they said that this case shouldn't even have gotten that far. It was a complete injustice for him to be imprisoned in the first place. And so I think about, man, here's a guy who know he's righteous, who's know that he's just, and he's sitting in this jail cell, cannot exercise any ministry. I'm not even sure if he could have visitors. And the thoughts that may be going in his mind and his heart during that time, just waiting for the Lord and waiting for the Lord's justice. I think he knew in his heart that justice would prevail. Now he's written about it in his, he's got these prison journals and diaries that he's written about. I haven't got a chance to read them. But in fact, I have it scheduled to read those during Lent next year. So that's going to be my reading, his spiritual journals. When I think about that, it helps me to find patience. It helps me to think, you know what? There are so many people that are worse off than I am right now that are waiting for the Lord to come through in their lives. And what do I have to, a flight that's late? I'm complaining about that when you have people like Cardinal Pell and others who are going through extreme injustices. I think about people suffering in countries under the communist regime, like in China. Or places that are suffering under Boko Haram and other kinds of militant forces like that, and they're waiting for the Lord. The Israelites in Egypt waiting for the Lord to come through and fulfill his promise to his people. It just really puts things in its proper perspective.
Well, and I love too, because all separate from each other, whether it be books or interviews or testimonials I've heard over, decades now, of people who have been wrongly accused, whether they're in prison or they're in some kind of, whatever camp that they're like, I'm not supposed to be here. But because of their faith, God was using them where they were. So again, another reminder, God uses you where you're planted. And even if he's going to eventually, show, yes, you're innocent and you're out of here, and the whole time you were clinging to your faith and you were witnessing to people who were in your circle at the time, even if their crimes were maybe legit and worse than yours, you're still going to be used. And the thing I love is even in that, people are thankful for it. Even though they didn't want to be there, they're thankful for the opportunity they had while they were waiting to serve God in those circumstances, because how else were people in prisons or, third world countries going to hear about his name?
That's right. Amen. And that witness in itself is a form of evangelization. Right. Oh,
100%.
that's so awesome. All right, let's see if we can get to verse 6 here. This will put us halfway through. It says, to the again, the Lord speaking here. To the boastful, I say, do not boast. To the wicked, do not flaunt your strength. Do not flaunt your strength on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. Boy, that's the voice of the Lord speaking to our culture today. You see, while the people that are righteous are waiting for the Lord's judgment, the people in the culture who are arrogant are saying, oh, look, the Lord's not going to come to their aid. Look how much they're suffering. Look how much control we have. Look how much influencing that we're having over these people who are following this God that some, spaghetti monster in the sky or whatever. And so they think they have their day. They think they have the last word. Oh, but we can see here, the Asaph in the Psalm, the Lord knows what's going on here. the Lord is warning him, hey, hell, hold on here. You know, I've got stuff working behind the scenes that you don't know about. So, you know, don't be laughing. Don't be arrogant, because my justice is going to come through. Beautiful.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.